Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Aren't you glad it's all about Him? Amen. We shouldn't make it all about ourselves, but sometimes we do. Amen. I'm so thankful for the spirits here. Amen. It's so good to have the French family with us. Amen. Brother, you want to testify?
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So awesome.
God for His grace.
Amen.
And His patience. And His sovereignty. For salvation and healing.
Yes.
And that He never turns His back on us.
Amen. Amen.
You know, we do things, we say things, and get upset with God, and He's forgiving. I was sitting here thinking about what all God's doing. How blessed I really am. I looked at the sky the other day thinking about our situation, cancer. I said, thanks for nothing, God. You know, it didn't strike me down.
No, you say anything.
He just took it. He took it on the cross.
Yes, He did.
My sins, my humanity.
Yes.
And He's gracious. I'm so glad.
Amen.
I appreciate the prayers of the church. And I believe God's going to pull us through.
Yes.
And make us again what we are to be in Him.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Right now, we just don't know. But I know Miss Child.
Yes.
And I want to trust Him.
Yes. Amen. Trust the Lord. That's all He asks. Just trust me. He's got you. Amen. What an awesome family. We're so glad to have them here. We reap the benefits. Every time we get to us, we're tired, and we come through, we get the benefits of what you guys have done. Amen. So don't think you ever did anything that's not keeping on blessing, because it's being blessed. Amen. It's so good to have Brother Tyler with us. Y'all come on, sing, whatever.
I ain't going to get in that rat race.
I love you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He asked for something very specific that I'm not going to mention. That way nobody will have high hopes or low hopes or anything. And I said, to spring that on an individual in my family like that is a good way to get shot. So, we can try to, as a family, we can try to sing something. Y'all want to try to sing something? We can do the doxology or whatever. Is that all right?
Bless the Lord.
All right, come on up here. Amen.
Bless the Lord.
I'm so blessed to have my family, it's weird saying that, I'm being honest. Because usually I'm with him and he's up here and he's like, I'm so blessed to have my whole family here with me. But now I'm the one that's gone. They came and I'm truly blessed to have my family with me and my extended family. We call him Uncle Gary. He's been Uncle Gary for 22 years, I mean, you know. And thankful for him and his wife, Jenny, and the two little boys that they brought. I'd like him to testify if that's right here in just a minute. But we're going to sing. It's called the Doxology. It's just a... We're not singing the Doxology. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still the dad.
Yeah, he's still the dad. Yeah, so he's so happy to have his whole family up here with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. First, what is this we sing?
You know, I was thinking, or I told my wife earlier, get over here, that, you know, I used to be my dad's kid. I used to be Brother French's kid. Colonel French, missionary to Mexico. Oh, you're Brother French's boy.
Yeah.
And then as we grew and started ministering on our own, and then he became, oh, you're Steve French's dad. You know, I hear people say, oh, you're Steve French's dad. Oh, Steve and Nikki French, oh, you're his dad and mom. Now I'm getting, oh, you're Tyler's dad. Oh, yeah, we know Tyler, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, you're Kelly. Kelly and Tyler, oh, yeah. Oh, that's so as our kids grow, you know, I am one, two, three, fourth generation in Pentecost.
Amen.
My great-grandfather and grandmother were servants of God. And
yes.
I can remember my grandmother just getting in the kitchen, and she was just cook. And the Spirit of God would be in that kitchen in Kentucky.
Yes.
And just an awesome heritage. We are so blessed. Even if you're here this morning and you are the first generation, what a place to be.
What a place to be, yeah.
What a place to be at number one of changing your family tree.
Woo! Yeah.
Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit. You're going to get discouraged, but don't quit.
That's right.
Discouragement comes. It rains on the just and the unjust, but don't quit.
Yeah.
You will reap the rewards.
Reap the rewards, yes.
And then your family, your children, and then your children, and your children's children, the Bible says. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate y'all having us this morning. Let us see you tonight, whatever. Exactly. Yeah. I feel good, good, good. I feel good, oh yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus makes me feel good, 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 good. I feel good, good, good. I feel good, oh yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus makes me feel good, 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 good. I wanna run, run, run. I wanna run, oh yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus makes me wanna run, 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 run. I wanna run, run, run. I wanna run, oh yes, my Lord. Because there's something about the Spirit of Jesus makes me wanna run, run, run. Not even related to me.
He was my dad's roommate in college. Became best friends, and then became more than best friends, became family. So thankful for that. Would you stand up and testify, Uncle Gary?
It's always good to be in God's house.
Amen.
Among God's people. You know, I've always really loved that scripture where they said, I was glad.
Yes.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because bring that over into the New Testament where yes. Jesus said, if any two or three of us will gather together in his name.
That's right.
He's right here with us.
Amen.
He's right here with us. So whenever we come together, a lot of times we feel like that we're just making a sacrifice of worship to offer up to him. You know, up to him.
Yes.
No, it's not just going up way up there somewhere.
Right.
He's right here.
That's right.
Yes,
he is.
He's right here.
That's right.
Amen.
So he's here for a purpose.
Yeah.
He's here for a reason.
Yes.
And it, as the song has already said, it's not about me.
That's right.
It's not about you. It's not about how good we can feel.
That's right.
Yeah. It's not about how high we can jump or any
right.
other thing. It's coming into his presence.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, in his presence, there is joy beyond measure.
Yes. Yeah.
In his presence, that's where things are broken off of us. It's in his presence that we come into his presence. And find divine healing.
Woo. That's right.
For the body, for the
that's
soul,
right.
for the
woo.
Spirit. Whenever we enter into that presence, we know that we have not only been touched for ourselves,
thank God,
but so that we can also be a part of doing something in somebody else's life.
That's right.
Amen.
See, just to give you an example, and I'm not going to preach, I promise you, you testify, right? So what's the limit between you testify and preach? I don't know. Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
I mean, he went to the tomb, and he called him, if you are familiar with Carmen, you know, you've heard that old song. Are you Lazarus? Old Lazarus, come.
Right.
But he came forth out
yes,
of the
he did.
Right.
He was alive. He was well. But he was also bound.
Yes, he was.
Right.
Jesus did not loose Lazarus from his bond.
That's right.
He told his disciples, he told those that was there.
That was around him.
Loose
yeah.
him.
Let him go.
Let him free.
Right.
That's right.
So you and I have a responsibility.
Yes.
Right.
Those that are around us,
yes,
they may be converts, they may be Christians, they may be fellow laborers in the Lord, but we have a responsibility to those around us to loose them.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Thank God.
And let them free.
Woo!
Preach.
I'll write it down for next time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just going to open up in prayer before we start the sermon. Father God, thank you so much for this blessed day that you've given us, Lord. Each day is a gift, and we're so thankful. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to study and learn from your word that you've so graciously given to us. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, God. Let us learn and glean from this. Grow us and change us tonight
hallelujah.
By your word and your spirit, Lord. I love you and I praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 29, verse 18. I usually like preaching, I'd call it wind-up preaching. It's where you go and you kind of open up with your scripture verse and then you just start winding up, and then at the end you go, pow!
Yeah, yeah.
And get a really good altar call, and pow! That's the bang! This is not one of those. This is one of those sermons where you start with the pow, and then you just kind of unwind it down this way. So, here's the pow. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I really like breaking down scripture verses, just down even to the English that they use in the scripture. Like, where is a place, you know, an existence, where there, kind of not like over there, but kind of another statement of existence, is, which would be like the action right there. Where there is, in a place where there is no. Okay, so it's not there. So you kind of throw you for a loop there. Where there is no vision. And that's the subject. I almost said direct object. I can't mix up my English grammar with my mom here. She'll have words with me after service. Where there is action, not, so no action, vision, subject, the people, who's going to receive the action and going to receive the subject, the people, that's the direct object, isn't it? Huh? It don't have a place?
I said you're all over the place.
Make it your own.
There you go.
The people
perish.
But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to break down that word vision. That's what I wanted to be the focus of the sermon tonight. Vision. We have a wonderful English language. It's not confusing. It's very basic and straightforward. There's nothing in it that could confuse anybody. Just kidding. The word vision has multiple meanings. The first sense of the word vision would be like your eyesight in the physical. Everybody say physical. In the physical, I have vision. My brother has the best vision that I know of. He went and got tested, and perfect vision is 20/20, and he had better than perfect vision. His eyesight, his eyeballs are beyond perfect. And mine are not. I don't know what my vision is, but I know people say you're getting old. I'm like, I'm getting old awful fast. My vision is not as good as my brother. It's in the physical sense, though. It's my eyesight. It's what I see. It's how I look around and I perceive the world around me, how I take it in and I register it and I process it, and I can avoid certain things and walk around it and not hurt myself, or I can learn things by reading books, or I can observe the wonderful creation of Jesus. But I don't think in the scripture where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't think that's what this scripture verse is talking about, because I've heard of people that live wonderful lives even with no sight, with no vision in their eyeballs. Now, it might be a little bit hard. I think I'm still in the middle, but I don't know how close to the front of the church I am. Yep, that close. It might hurt a little bit, but that's not what this scripture is talking about. It's not talking about in the physical sense where there is no eyesight, the people perish. So what's another one of the definitions of the word vision that this scripture could be talking about? Well, another definition of the word vision that we have in the English language is like foresight, or sight for the future. Looking beyond the physical, the here and now, to the time that is to come, expecting something, sight for the future, having a preparation, looking to the future, expecting something, not just in the here and the now. Well, that would make sense. And this is one of those, some scripture verses to help support this. Blessed are they, John 20:29, blessed are they that have not seen, but yet believe. Not seen. Do you want to know something? That is you. You have not seen Jesus in physical form with your eyeballs, but you believe. Blessed are those who see or have not seen and yet believe. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. It's out the physical. Well, this is starting to make a little bit more sense. I think we know where this scripture verse might be headed a little bit. But Hebrews 11:1, I love this scripture verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have faith in what we can't see. Okay, that was a little side note. So sight for the future. Foresight. Looking to the future with a plan and a purpose. Not being tossed to and fro with every wind and wave. Very pointed. Very, I'm going this direction. I might not know exactly where I'm headed, but I'm looking to the future with a vision that God has given me in His Word to get somewhere that God wants me to be. It's very intentional. It's not on accident. There's a man, I believe his name is Thomas Carlyle. I wrote down his name. I'll look at it real quick. But he said, a man without vision is like a ship without a rudder. Have you ever seen, I had the privilege of going over to Virginia, and they have the state's largest Navy base there. And they have absolutely huge ships, battleships and army carriers, and just absolutely huge, bigger than buildings. And every single one of those ships has a rudder. Every single one of those ships has something that gives them direction where they're going, because if they didn't, they'd be lost. Now, there's another definition for the word vision in the Bible. God spoke to His servants, to the prophets, through visions, through divine revelations that they could see, but it wasn't of something that was happening at that moment. It was something that was going to happen. It was a divine revelation from God given to somebody who was seeking a divine revelation from God. One of the two most popular ones that I can think of are in Daniel when he's talking about the end times, and John the Revelator when he's talking about the end times, talking about the future, talking about what's going to happen. Through a vision, but I want to make it clear that it was a divine revelation from God, from our Heavenly Father, giving them something to share, giving them a sense of direction. Now let's put that in the scripture verse. Where there is no vision, where there is no sight for the future, where there is no goal, where there is no pressing towards the mark, where there is no, hey, I'm doing this for God, or I'm going this place for God, or no, I'm just going to sit here and just wait for God to move me. No, no, no. Where there is no vision, where there is no sight for the future, where there is no divine revelation from God, the people perish. I looked up that word perish, and the actual definition of the word perish is not like just to be destroyed or just to be overcome. It's
out of control.
You read the Bible, don't you? I was going to say you read my notes. But to let free. To make someone go out of control. Allow to run wild. Leave unattended. It's God, when there is no vision, God will just let you go and do whatever you're going to do. You're not going to have a rudder, you're not going to have a direction, or you might be going in a direction that God doesn't want you to go. Your rudder might be a little bit off balance or lopsided. Let you go, and it will be to your own demise, where there is no sight, no goal, no focus, no point where you're headed, and no word from the Lord. The people will perish. They will be allowed to go to the ways that they see fit. Every man is, we like sheep have gone astray. Every man is turned to his own way. It was written in Jeremiah. That's basically. And we have proof of that in today's world, in today's life. Everybody's going their own direction, down to the point that we don't know if we're boys or girls anymore.
Oh, come on, that's it. Jesus, where we're at.
And that makes me angry a little bit, but it also hurts.
Yes, it does.
It's sad.
Yes, it does.
They're trying to redefine nature itself. the things that God established, the direction, if you will, that He's already put us on. Trying to reinstitute that in their own vision, their own sight for the future, their own. Oh, they're going somewhere, but it's nowhere fast. It's not God's vision. It's not God's word. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 3:14. Even the apostle Paul, you read these scriptures this morning, and I was like, whoa, glory. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I heard Dave Ramsey, he said, look at the past, focus on the future. If you keep looking to the past, you're never going to get anywhere. But this thing, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing, I'm looking for what God is going to reveal to me or what He already has revealed to me. I'm going somewhere. I'm not just here for no reason. I'm not just drifting around for no reason, trying to get nowhere. I have a purpose. God has a plan for me. I'm going somewhere, and I'm pressing towards that mark of His high calling in Christ Jesus. Yes. That's where we're at today.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Lord. That's good.
Praise the Lord.
That's good preaching, brother.
Where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision, a word from God. Where there is no, let's just say, word from God. The people, no revelation from God, the people perish. Where there is no sight, where there is no goal, where there is no sight for the future, no plan, no divine interaction, no divine revelation, no word from the Lord, no vision, the people are left to themselves, left to go unhindered, unaltered, unguided, left to do as they will, like a ship without a rudder, no direction, the people will perish. The end of this life without Jesus Christ is destruction. And the rest of that scripture verse says, but he that obeyeth the law, happy is he.
Yes.
What is the law?
Yes, the word of God.
It's what?
The word of God.
It's the word of God. It's God's word given to man to direct his future.
Right.
You try to live your life without the Ten Commandments at least. That's what we're doing in today's society. I didn't know why that was in there. He that obeys the law, happy is he. What does it have to do with vision? Where there is no word from God.
Yes. No word.
And that's what the law is. Blew my mind. You can see where we're going without the law. Happy is he.
Happy.
Because he knows who he belongs to.
Yes.
He knows where he's going.
Come on.
He knows what's waiting for him on the other side. Hebrews. Got it written down. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us on the journey that we're on. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's already been set before us, looking unto Jesus, meaning He's out there, and we're going to get to Him one day, and we're going to spend eternity with Him, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, for the vision that He had, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's already fulfilled the purpose from the foundations of the world. Christ had a vision. Christ had a vision. He knew what He was going to do 2,000 years ago from the foundations of the world. Christ was crucified. He had a vision. He had a purpose. He had a plan. He had a direction. Why should we be any different? Where do we get our vision from? Who is the instituter of vision? Our Heavenly Father. He gives divine revelation to His people, to His children. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. I've got that scripture verse. I don't want to mess it up. Jeremiah 29:11-13. Is that right? No? I've got it written down. I'm sorry? Okay. Okay, I have a different one written down. It's in the Bible, I promise. Now, that's what vision is. That's where it comes from. Who is it for? The responsibility for the vision in somebody's life, responsibility falls to the individual.
Yes, it does.
You are responsible for seeking God for the vision for your life. Asking God for the plan that He has for your life.
Yes.
My life. I'm responsible for me. Dad, come here for a second. It's so cool. He's always used me for illustrations. This is my dad. My earthly father. I'm so blessed to have him here. But the responsibility of vision does not just fall to the individual. It falls to the authority.
Yes, it does.
He is a father.
Yeah.
He is responsible for the vision that God has for his family. He is responsible to carry out the plan that God has for his family because he is in authority. Thanks.
Love you.
Come here, Brother Marty. The responsibility of vision falls to those in authority. God sets up the authority. God has set this man as the pastor of this church. He has the responsibility to take this church in the direction that God has laid on his heart. We have the responsibility, thank you, to support those that have the authority over us to go to the vision where God has put the men to take us as a congregation, as a family, all built up as individuals. It falls to the authority. Hebrews.
Thank God.
Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. And the next verse says, pray for us, for we trust. We have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
The people that are in authority have a heavy, heavy responsibility.
Yes, they do.
And I know this man, and I know this man do not bear it lightly. They're responsible, which means they are accountable.
Yes.
Which means, if they're accountable, we're accountable.
That's right.
We're accountable for where we're going as individuals. We're accountable for how we support those that are over us, going the place that God wants us to go. Yeah. Families, be encouraged. Yeah. Fathers, raise your hand if you're a father. You're responsible. Raise your hand if you have any form of ministry. You're responsible. Raise your hand if you're an individual. I saw a few people not raising hands. You're responsible. It falls to you to ask of God, to seek the will of God, to pursue the vision that He would lay on your heart. Sometimes it's very specific. Other times it's a blessed choice. Delight yourself in the Lord. How does it go? It's in Psalms. Well, there's a middle part. Trust also in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart.
Your heart.
Sometimes it's a specific step-by-step instructions, process, journey. Other times it's a blessed choice. The vision that God has for your life is going to depend on how much of your life you give to God.
Amen.
He'll take you wherever you allow Him to take you. If you don't allow Him to take you anywhere, you won't go anywhere. You are responsible for the vision that God has for your life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
So leaders, be encouraged. Receive strength. If nobody else supports you, I'll support you. I support my dad. I'm getting to the point. I'm just saying, Dad, a little bit. I'm a little bit more responsible as an individual. responsible is a heavy word.
Yes, it is. Heavy.
And this is what I want to leave you with. You can come to the piano, sister. I believe in you. I have faith in you. I know God has a plan for you.
Yes.
I know God has a purpose for you.
Purpose, man.
Nobody is here on accident. Nobody is here to go nowhere.
That's right.
Okay. Everybody is here, a God-given appointment to go somewhere, and to do something. It might not be the same vision that God has for Brother Marty's life. It might not be the same vision that God has for Brother Matthew's life. It might not be the same vision that God has for my life. But God has a plan for your life. So more than just I believe in you, God believes in you. God thought this world needed you.
Come on.
Because if this world didn't need you, you wouldn't be here. God believes in you. God has a plan for you. God puts his trust in you because he's given you a job. God uses imperfect people to fulfill his
perfect
will.
Yes, he does.
God has put his trust, put stock in you. God believes. Ask him where he wants you to go.
Right.
Ask him what he wants you to do. And if he doesn't give you a step-by-step instruction, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
We will seek the Lord.
We will seek him.
And he will direct your steps.
Yes, yes, yes.
He will direct
your
paths. Would you all stand?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Where there is no vision,
yes,
no goal, no striving point, no focus, no divine revelation
Hallelujah.
From God, the people
Lord, I got to trust you.
Perish.
Believe your word,
and I don't want anybody to perish. God's not willing that any should perish.
Right.
He has a plan for you. He believes in you. So if you're struggling with the direction that God is taking your life, don't get me wrong. I don't have it all wrapped up with a bow on it and know where I put it.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm seeking the Lord for direction in my
yes,
life.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he brought me here today to preach this sermon. I know it. There's not a doubt in my
good
mind.
Good word, good word. That's right, Lord.
If you're struggling with the direction that God is taking you, your life, your family, whoever you're in authority over, ask him.
Jesus,
and if he doesn't give you a direct answer, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will delight myself in the Lord, and he will give me the desires of my heart. We can't lose, church. We're on the winning side. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Let's come and pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you.